Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Christian Carrese with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you for taking my question. First of all, congratulations for the results, very solid. The first question is on revenues, in particular on net interest income. I would like to understand the moving parts going forward, looking at TLTRO contribution, commercial banking, and basically these two. So TLTRO, if I look at the slide, seems to have a positive contribution in the quarter equal to 24 million euros, additional contribution compared to the first quarter. So this would mean around 1% yield on that TLTRO. Is it correct? If you can elaborate a little bit. And in terms of loans and customer spread, what do you expect for the second part of the year? And finally, on the financial portfolio, I saw that reduced part of the Italian govies in the quarter, the unrealized capital gains went down a little bit. Maybe they were also booked in the trading income. So what do you expect from the financial portfolio, from the financial portfolio contribution going forward? So, basically, this quarter level of net interest income, do you think that is sustainable in the coming quarters? The second question is on the fees. It seems that now the network is going at full speed, very good set of results. Do you expect still some conversion in terms of deposits into assets under management? If you can give us a guide, I would expect some slowdown in the third quarter compared to the second quarter, but if you can give us an idea. The third question is on strategic option, let's say. We see that you have the option to buy back the bancassurance joint ventures. This could add some earnings in the future, let's say  2023, 2024. I did some homework, and I see that, taking into account the possibility to get the Danish Compromise, maybe the impact on the capital would be not so big, negligible, I would say. So if you can give us an idea of what could be the contribution from the bancassurance, if you decided to keep in-house that kind of activity. Then I missed one question, but maybe I will ask later. Thank you.
Thank you. I will try to give you the detail you have requested. All in all, of course, we think the second part of the year will be slightly better, thanks to the TLTRO, even though you know that we cannot contribute 100 basis points, because unfortunately, there is so much liquidity that a part of it will be, unfortunately, invested at negative rates. So I would say that only half of the contribution is incorporated in our forecast for 2021. Commercial would be mostly online with what we've seen in the first part of the year. The securities portfolio, we think that, considering from one side the maturity that we are having during the year at a higher yield, and on the other side, the savings on the interest that we are paying on the wholesaling issuing, we think that we have more or less 15 million less of contribution vis-à-vis 2020. So the global number basically is quite clear and I think you can calculate also by yourself, it will be in the region €2 billion, €2.05 billion. Second question, fees. The conversion is very high, as I was mentioning before. Basically, we never had positive net asset under management from deposit. We are in June, we had €1.7 billion, which for us is very, very consistent. We are still growing, and we will continue to grow. The problem is to reduce a bit the deposit from corporates and enterprise, which we are doing, charging corporate and enterprise of a fees as much as we see an increase in deposit. This unfortunately will take place has been taking place from July, but I think we will see more in the Q4 rather than in Q3. Total fees, as you were mentioning, normally in the second part of the year are a bit lower than the first part of the year, but I am confident because, you know, even in Q2, we had, as I mentioned before, a reduction of upfront fees, but a very sound compensation from running fees and from fees coming from ordinary activity, M&A, and so on. So let's say that 450 for quarter, for the next two quarters, would be the bottom that we consider. Bank assurance, as I mentioned, will be basically at the base of our new business plan. We are doing all the forecast about the potential charge that will be in terms of capital. We don't have a definite and precise idea, but we are considering that if the Danish compromise will be applied, it will be very negligible, the cost of capital on Common Equity Tier 1. On the opposite, we will have a very consistent increase in terms of revenues and net profit, more than compensating, of course, whatever charge we can have in terms of capital.
Just on capital, if I may, follow up. In the business plan you presented last year, you were referring to a threshold of 12.5% Common Equity Tier 1 fully loaded, if I'm not mistaken. So you are now targeting 13%. So do you think that the 12.5% still is a reasonable threshold, or after COVID-19 pandemic, you'd prefer to have a higher capital buffer? And still on dividend payout, you increased the, you said 40% payout after the stress test outcome, so should we assume you don't expect any additional Pillar 2 guidance after the results of the stress test? I mean, negligible add-on. Thank you.
Basically, as far as common equity is concerned, 12.5, I think, was the 2023 baseline. The 13% is the outlook for 2021. So we have not yet giving outlook for years to come. The real situation that we were expecting more impact from the headwinds, which we are instead absorbing very well, so we are still keeping a very sound Common Equity Tier 1. As you know, the principal headwind were forecasted in this first 2 years of the plan, because in the next year will be very, very low. So I think we can envisage an higher Common Equity 1, but I don't think that we will need to stay at 13%. If you ask right now, unfortunately, I see that the majority of the bank have higher Common Equity Tier 1, so we are already in the lower part of Common Equity Tier 1. We feel very comfortable being around 13%. Let's see the evolution of the pandemic, and possibly we can also go down at more normal approach of around 12.5%.
And some comments on stress testing? Can you hear me?
Sorry, I didn't get.
I was wondering the stress test at the end that you passed comfortably the stress test, so you don't expect any.
Honestly speaking, we feel very comfortable because, as you know, we have a very good performance, better than the average of the other bank in the base case scenario, which I think is the most probable. I don't think there will be a severe consideration of the stressed case, because, as you know, was already applied to a very stressed situation. So I don't expect, frankly speaking, any material change in terms of SREP.
Thank you very much. Have a nice holiday.
The next question is from Giovanni Razzoli with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. Two questions. A clarification on the fee income. Can you share with us what was the contribution of the upfront fees in the second quarter? And the second question is line number 10. So a very explicit showing us that, despite the cost of risk that is 86 basis points in the first half, that is quite above, so more prudent than the average of your peers, you are delivering 360 million euros of bottom line. So I was wondering what could deviate your targets from, something like an earnings power in the region of 700 million euros for the next business plan, because it seems to me that, you are fairly prudent in terms of cost of risk in relative terms, while your profitability seems more resilient than expected. So shall we take this as an earnings power as a base for the next business plan? What are your thoughts there, or you think that there are some elements in the revenues which can move up or down at this level of profits? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Razzoli. Starting from fee income, we have upfront in Q2 for 79 million vis-à-vis 87 million in Q1. Running fees, on the opposite, going up to 123 million in Q2 vis-à-vis 114.5 in Q1. And then we have an increase of 6 million in management and advisory fees. In terms of cost of risk, basically we wanted to give you, first of all, it's not, of course, an anticipation of what we will give you for the new business plan. It's just an outlook for this year, which is not even an outlook for this year. The outlook was driven by the net results and the dividend policy. And in order to give you something consistent, we had, of course, to start from an hypothetical cost of risk that we prefer to imagine the same of the first half. Then, of course, all this can be better, but we wanted to give you some solid number about earning per share and dividend policy. On page 10, we instead were just representing some comparison between this first half result and the old business plan. Again, we are not saying that we are going to do the same business plan, because there will be many things different, but we're only stressing that we feel confident in approaching a new business plan target thanks to the result we have already reached in the first half of 2021. So I wouldn't consider neither 86 or 51 a guidance for the new business plan.
Thanks.
The next question is from Jean Noyes with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, and good evening. Thanks for the guidance. I just wanted to ask, because the cost program is fairly large, and then you're showing this very strong reduction this particular quarter, so you have an outlook for the full year. I just wanted to understand the moving parts into 2022, or whether you have already a rough idea of what your cost would be then. I'm just trying to size up the difference in staff cost versus and branch cost, but also maybe versus some other inflation or some other initiatives that you might have. Particularly, you referred a lot to digital in your presentation. Second question I have is, it is true that your cost of risk looks more prudent than some of the other peers. At the same time, you've got about 2 billion more inflow per quarter year to date of stage 2 loans, and I wonder, you know, whether you think you're there, or whether you think there is some more reclass to take place. I think I already asked this question on the last quarterly conference call, but maybe there are changes in parameters. And lastly, with regards to what's happening around you yourself in Northern Italy in the banking landscape, there was a lot of focus today on your standalone profitability, I feel more than usual. Any change in the way that you think about Banco BPM's place in the Italian landscape now, organically or inorganically? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nuet. First, we start from the last question. No, there is basically we want to just we were requested to give some forecast update on our business plan. We think that now would be a good moment to start talking about that, and of course we cannot do other than giving you our standalone projection. Why now, and why we thinking basically by this autumn we can be able to do that? First of all, because we are experiencing eventually the results we were expecting when we announced the first business plan, especially in terms of revenue, so we are much more consistent and much more credible. Secondly, because hopefully we can imagine that the pandemic will have a lower and lower effect on the business. Of course, if this happens, we think we can go ahead with some new figure, very sound, very interesting, in order to give the possibility to make some forecast also in terms of our stock. Of course, we still believe that consolidation could be useful, but as I mentioned also in Q1, it's not the case right now, because right now we don't see any potential consolidation at our door. So, of course, we will still continue to look, we will still continue to understand if there is the possibility to make some more interest of our stakeholders, shareholders, in doing a sound transaction. But, of course, we feel that it is also very interesting to understand that we have a good story, a very good story, also on a standalone basis. Second question. No, I can assure that the cost of risk come out for a very prudent approach. Stage 2 new increase is only, let's say, we take advantage from the moratoria and the pandemia to level the difference, the gap that we had vis-à-vis our competitor. In our opinion, this is much more due to our geographic presence rather than a non-prudent approach before of this decision, but having the possibility to increase, to be more prudent thanks to the moratoria, we decided to change model and to make more tightened model for the inflow into stage two. And this happened in the first quarter with the moratoria client which were either in the mid high risk and high risk and in the industrial sector more eaten by the pandemia. In the second queue, this was referred instead to our leverage finance portfolio, and we decided to have a more strict model also for this asset class, and this of course had an inflow, provoked an inflow in stage two quite consistent, which led to the 34 basis point of increase of cost of risk. But because of the running of the moratoria, which are very, very good up to now, as I mentioned in my presentation, we are confident that this stage two can go back to stage one and reduce also the impact on cost of risk. The first question
was on the cost for 2022, whether you expect that you're going to get the benefit of the staff reduction, still 600 and the 1,000 plus the branches, or whether there is other inflations?
We believe in 2022 we can have a further reduction of 60 million all in all, of course considering also the new investment in digital. So the trade-off between savings in personnel, hiring of people, because of course we have also some consistent hiring of young specialized people to perform by the business plan, and increase in some cost, we think we can still have some consistent savings in the region of around 60 million for 2022.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Gonzalo Lopez with Redburn. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning everyone. Just two questions, please. The first one is on the transformation from deposit to AUM funds. You mentioned that you are planning to charge some fees to corporates. I was wondering if you can provide some color on the initiative that you are planning to take on the retail side, please. And the second one is on the P&L. Could you please provide some visibility on the tax rate for the second half of the year? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lopez. So on fee, on corporate, on charging corporates for deposit, we have already started a campaign vis-a-vis large corporates and mid-sized corporates. We have communicated to the client which kind of increase in fees will be applied, but we had to give them the possibility to negotiate these fees, which will be applied in any case if we don't come to some terms by Q4, and instead if we decide together with the client the amount of increase will be in place directly from Q3. We don't have a clear idea. We think it could be between 5 and 10 million the total contribution at the end of the maneuver, but it's difficult to make some forecast right now. Frankly speaking, the main target for us is not really to increase these fees, but to reduce the deposit. So in doing that, we hope that they will move deposit, possibly utilizing for investments, or rather to change the deposit for in other banks. So this is more or less what we feel about deposit. tax rate will be in the region 25%-30%. Let's have in mind that there are also a lot of maneuver driven by the PNRR from the state, which allow, for instance, Ecobonus, Superbonus, which will impact on our fiscal charge, because of course, we can reduce also our tax rate in doing this kind of a transaction. I don't have a more precise question, but would be in this region.
Fantastic. Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Vercellone with Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Two questions on my side. The first one is on margin, and the second one is on de-risking. On margins, can you give us an idea for how many quarters do you still expect the yield on new production to be above the exits? On de-risking, you have done a lot. You've done the Roque transaction, which you had already announced. I'm just noticing from pretty much all of your competitors that there seems to be a bit of a race to the bottom into selling NPLs. Clearly there are different logics to it. However, whenever you sell something, there are charges attached to doing so. I was just curious whether you are gonna join this race to the bottom, or you're pretty much done, and we shouldn't expect anything major to be announced in the context of the new business plan. Thank you.
No, of course, thank you, Mr. Vercellone. Margin yield, I think you refer to asset spread. As we mentioned on page 15, we have experienced an outflow, which is at a lower interest rate vis-à-vis the new inflow. As I mentioned, I imagine starting from Q3 or Q4, an increase of ordinary loans, so will be mitigated the effect of the lower spread on asset guaranteed by the state. Hopefully we will be able to maintain a consistent margin. Of course, we cannot consider the potential effect of prepayment, because of course, what we consider are the maturity which are going out, and on that we know that the outflow is lower than the inflow. Of course, we don't know about prepayment. Being such liquidity on the market, of course, it's difficult to have a clear measure. Up to now, we were able to give a good forecast on the first two quarter.
Excuse me. Just a clarification. If a corporate prepays, is there a fee attached to doing so, or they can just do what they want?
Depends, of course. Normally, if you have syndicated loans, there is some attached to prepayment. Normally also in bilateral loans, it's possible that there is a fees attached, but as you can imagine, then competition is the king, because sometime in order to replace the loans with a new transaction, which brings you also the possibility to cover the interest rate with the derivatives and so on, not always we are paid a substantial commission. Of course, it happens in many cases, but of course does not compensate the difference. Going to de-risking, I have to say that I was obliged to be upfront runner into selling. We didn't do that in one shot, as you well know. We were very able during this four and a half year to have a very sound transaction, normally at a higher price vis-à-vis the competition, always putting strong competition in place in terms of bidder. As you were saying, we are almost done. We are now at 6.2, which is 5.2 in EBA guidelines. I don't think that we will imagine strong de-risking coming from disposal in the new business plan will be more a normal workout activity, for which, of course, we have also some single asset disposal, but not the round and sound transaction we were used to do and we have done during these years.
Thank you.
Mr. Castagna, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Please go ahead.
Okay, the next question is from Azzurra Guelfi with Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I have a question on the ESG. When you look at your portfolio, you are clearly exposed to the SMEs more than the average European banks. And the, if you want the greening up of the loan book, it's a process that will take time. How are you thinking about your client response to more inquiry about the greening of their activities, and how would these impact your future lending as well as margin? And when you look at the European banks, it's quite difficult to do a comparison. Do you think that at some point the European regulator will look at capital charges or capital benefit linked to climate-related position? Thank you.
I think the two questions, thank you for the question. I think they are very much linked because, of course, as you know, we are already under a scrutiny by ESG, by ECB. We are sending all the material that they were asking in the first round of questions about ESG. Now we are better classifying also our portfolio, which will be sent to ECB by the next stage of their inquiry. This will help also us, of course, so we will be in a way obliged to perform in detail all the exposure in order to understand if they are under the green approach or not. This is something that we are already discussing with our client, being in a very sound part of the Italy. We think that most all our clients have these very well in mind. They are approached by all the main bank, national and international, and as far as I know, up to now, in our investigation and query with our client, we are not having any problem in getting this transparent disclosure about their current situation. Of course, I am not yet in the position to give you numbers, because we are still under scrutiny, also ourselves, but I think in the next quarter this will come out as much as we will give these numbers also to the regulator. And depending from that, of course, the regulator can choose if we are compliant. I don't think there will be any kind of tight policy about capital. Otherwise, of course, as we are used to do, there could be some headwind. But we never were informed about that. It's just my opinion.
Thank you.
The next question is from Noemi Peruch with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you for taking my question. I have just one on cost of risk. So you indicated that the annual cost of risk will be in line with H1. So with this, I assume 86 bps. So I was wondering, how will you be allocating the additional 35 bps on top of the 52 underlying? Will it be stage 2 and moratoria if you do not envisage further stronger risking going forward, or you do you see some additional small de-risking? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Peruch. Again, I have to say that we wanted to give you some precise figure about the net profit and the EPS. And in order to give you a sound figure, we either had the possibility to give you a figure in between 52 and 86, or to give you the same figure that we had in the first half. It's not yet, we have not yet, of course, decided if we will reach effectively the cost of risk of H1. We don't envisage right now any problem in having a core cost of risk also in the second part of the year, and then we will decide if we will be able to make more profit, or we will prefer, depending from the situation. I don't think we will have any problem in stage two, and also in moratoria. I gave you, I think, a lot of information to make you to make up your mind in order to understand how could behave or not the further ending of the moratoria. So we have not a forecast of 86. We just gave you a forecast of 86 in order to give you the EPS that we have as outlook for our bank.
There are no more questions at this time.
Okay, so thank you very much, everybody. I hope you will have some days or weeks on vacation. And, of course, I know that our IR already is available to take also some call to give you some more explanation about our figures. Have a good period of holiday, and see you when we will be back. Thank you very much.